Lord, thank you for your word in the Bible, and thank you for your word, living and active, which you bring to us. And so as you've brought a word to Rachel this morning, we pray that you will open our hearts to hear from you what you want to say to each of us, and that you would help us to know how to respond. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you on this very last day of January. One way or another, it's turned out that I haven't preached this year yet. And I have a feeling that this is going to be a bit different for me this morning, because God has been stirring something up in me through this month of January that in a way has quite overtaken me. And I want to try and share it with you, but I'm not really quite sure how, and I'm not quite sure what it's going to mean for us. So I'm going to ask if you just kind of bear with me, and I'm going to try and explain what's been going on. Because as we've come to the beginning of this new year, and indeed John and I are just reaching our first anniversary in ministry here at All Saints. I think it was the 3rd of February was the licensing service, so very, very nearly a year now. And I found myself turning to God and asking him what this year ahead might be for. What's it about? Is there a particular focus that he wants us to have? You know, what might he be saying to us as his people gathered here in Ripley at this time? Now, I've got a friend whose name's Liz. We were at university with her many years ago. And in fact, I had the privilege of being part of her coming to faith in Jesus. And she was, in fact, she still is, one of those real firebrands for God. Do you know the kind of person I mean? She's just full on for God and passionate about him. And she's now married to a Sri Lankan pastor called Roshan. And they're leading a church over in Sri Lanka that's growing fast. And they're seeing God do amazing things in people's lives. Actually, they visited us here in Ripley last summer. And I know that they've prayed for this church and for this town, which is a real blessing. I also know that they believe that we are going to see the rivers of revival flowing in Ripley. Now, how amazing is that? That there is a church in Sri Lanka that believes that about Ripley in Derbyshire. I think that's great. But anyway, as the new year has begun, I discovered that they've got a word. Literally a single word that God has given them for this year for their church. And it's a word that will shape who they are and how they're going to go about what they're doing. And that just seemed quite cool to me, really. And I guess it triggered me to start asking God if maybe he'd got a word for us here as well. Now, I realised that it would be pretty easy to come up with a good idea, all of my own, that would really be quite cool as well. But in the end, I don't really see the point of doing that, because I'm hungry for God's word, because his word has got the power to transform us. His word has got the power to bring life to us and to transform Ripley and the surrounding area here. And that's what we're here for. It's his word that we need more than however many, however brilliant ideas I might come up with, or John might come up with, or all of us might come up with together. So I asked him, and I asked him really quite persistently for a while, and absolutely nothing happened at all. Nothing came to me. And so I put this on the back burner. That is until last Thursday, as in 10 days ago. It's our day off, actually. So it turns out that God is no respecter of days off whatsoever. Because I was sitting up in bed that morning. Is that too much information? I was sitting up in bed, however, in the morning, looking forward to a day with the family, including, I might add, going to the cinema to see Star Wars at last, which is really good. Have you seen it?
Yes.
Bit of a groupie, really. Anyway, it was great. But so my focus actually was all on getting up, enjoying the day with the family, seeing Star Wars, etc. And I grabbed my Bible reading notes in haste, really as a token gesture. What a confession that is, standing up here. And out of nowhere, it was like God punched me in the guts. And the passage that I was reading was that gospel reading that Robin has just read to us, the story of the man with the withered or shriveled hand. And what took my breath away in that moment was the sudden and instant conviction that God was saying to us that we are a church with a withered hand, and that his word to us for this year is actually four words: stretch out your hand. Stretch out your hand. Now, it was not at all what I was expecting, or indeed when I was expecting it, but it's taken hold of me. And since that morning, I have been testing it out with a few people to see whether they too have a sense that this might be God's word to us and not just my idea, including the vicar, of course. And we believe that it is. We believe that there is something significant in this that is from God, that this is what he's saying to us. And so I simply share it with you as God's people gathered here this morning, whether you come every week or whether you're visiting or you're here for a while, I share it with you. You know, I think it's both an invitation and a challenge, and I also think it is an incredible encouragement and promise from God to us as his people. Do you remember that when that man with that withered hand obeyed Jesus and stretched it out, it was completely restored? Stretch out your hand. Now, I haven't pinned down all that that might mean for us. In a sense, I'm feeling my way forward here, one step at a time. But I believe that today could be a beginning for us. And I'm really hoping and praying that we might all of us discover together what it might mean, what this is about, what God has in store for us as we travel through this year, if we're up for it. Stretch out your hand. So, as part of this beginning, I've got some thoughts that I hope might be helpful, because I've spent more time looking at that story from Luke's Gospel, wondering what this is all about for us. Now, of course, the whole context of that story is the Pharisees trying to catch Jesus out, breaking the law, and finding a reason to accuse him. And they have such blinkered vision, such hardness of heart, that it always raises questions for me of how much our vision might be blinkered and how hard our hearts might be to what God is actually doing. But that's not what I want to focus on this morning, because I don't think that that's what God's speaking to us about. Instead, I want us to look at that man, the man with the withered hand, or I think, was it described as shriveled in the reading that we had, or it could be crippled. The original Greek word actually means dried out. This is a hand that's got no life in it, no life flowing through it, stiff and dry, unable to move. That's the impression we're given, probably shrunken down in size. It's dried out. And Luke tells us it's his right hand, which implies his dominant hand. I know that's not true for all of us, but that's the implication, and it's vital for the stuff of day-to-day life. Now, it could be that he had been born that way. It's more likely that it had come about through disease or accident, and that there was no life where once there had been life. And there he is among many others in the synagogue on the Sabbath, and Jesus is teaching, and there are the Pharisees looking for trouble. And Jesus, knowing all that's going on, has tremendous compassion for this man, and he calls him out. Get up and stand in front of everyone, he said to him. Get up, come forward, stand where everyone can see you. That's quite a thing, isn't it? A lot of us quite like to hide from view. We're not too sure about have everyone looking at us. We, you know, like to keep things private, especially sometimes when it comes to matters of faith. Certainly we want to cover up and hide our weakness and our frailty. That wasn't an option for this man at this moment. And I love his response. Luke tells us, so he got up and he stood there. As simple as that, Jesus told him to do it, so he did it. And I'm willing to bet his eyes were fixed firmly on Jesus as he stood there in front of everyone, wondering what was going to happen next. And then come those words, those four words, stretch out your hand. And again, we're simply told he did so, and his hand was completely restored. Now, if you have a withered hand, what's one thing that you cannot do? You cannot stretch it out. It's impossible. But Jesus told him to do it. So he went to do it, and the power of God made the impossible possible. A new life flowed through his veins, bringing strength and power, reviving what was withered and limp and lifeless. That's a glorious picture of new life flowing. So I've been wondering, what can we take from this story? If God is saying that we are a church with a withered hand, what might that mean? Well, do you know, first of all, it means that he loves us. That his compassion for us is boundless, just as he had compassion on that man. God loves his church. We are his delight and his joy. As Chris was saying last week, we are his favourites. We are favoured by him. We're his much-loved bride. And because he loves us, he wants us to be whole, and he wants his life to flow through us and bring life to the world. There's nothing condemning in the recognition that we are withered in part. In fact, it's in that recognition that lies hope and promise, because God is on the case. And it's the promise of wholeness, it's the promise of fruitfulness, the promise of life flowing. Do you remember, some of you will remember, the picture that's been a recurring one in this church of the river of God flowing through the church and out into the streets of Ripley? Some of you will remember that. It's that promise, that's what this is about. But we need to be honest about our witheredness, if that's even a word. To be real and honest about the dryness and the lifelessness that we see and we experience as a church. Now, I don't know if you were here last week. Who was here last week? Yeah, and Chris was preaching. He was speaking to us about being anointed, the anointed body of Christ. Anointed for what, he said? To do stuff. Do you remember? And it's the stuff that Jesus did, proclaiming good news to the poor, proclaiming freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, setting the oppressed free, proclaiming the year of the Lord's favour, and all that that means of healing and blessing and fullness of life. And I tell you, I sat here really challenged by what he was saying. Don't know about you. If we are the body of Christ, if we are Jesus' hands in the world, we have a withered hand. Because we're not doing that stuff, not fully, not yet. There's so much more that we're called to, that's our birthright as the children of God, and that our town and our nation needs desperately. You know, we are a church with a withered hand. And all sorts of things will be contributing to why that is. You know, not least because the whole context that we live in this country now, is increasingly tough spiritually. Roshan, that Sri Lankan pastor that I mentioned earlier, he told me that he's so aware of the almost oppressive spiritual atmosphere when he's here, a sort of heaviness spiritually in England, that he has to pray for far longer every day to stay close to God when he's here. So, you know, that's a really significant perspective that we won't be aware of, because this is the air we breathe all the time. Then there'll be other stuff to do with our history as a church here at All Saints. Guessing God may want to deal with some of that stuff as the year progresses. And that's really good news for us. And then what about us as individuals sitting here together this morning? You know, maybe if we're honest, we know that there's dryness in us, a kind of witheredness. You know, maybe we've been hurt or disappointed and something in us has died. Maybe we've offered our gifts and we feel like they've been rejected and so we've withdrawn with really good reason. Maybe it's because we've simply settled for less, you know, that we haven't gone on exercising faith or letting God stir us onwards and upwards with him. And we've let unbelief grow in us and faith's kind of shriveled up. Or maybe, do you know, it's just a bit like we've seen it all before. You know, that been there, done that, got the T-shirt. And we're just a bit fed up and uninspired. Or it could be that we're full of fear, or maybe just ever so weary. Or maybe it is for some of us that we've seen God's promises go unfulfilled for so long that it's been safer to let hope die in us. Could also be that we've just got distracted and stopped doing the God stuff that we used to do, or that we've never done it. You know, we've never actually taken Jesus at his word and risked doing the impossible with him. Well, for all these reasons, and maybe more, we're a people and a church with a withered hand. Now, please, please don't get me wrong. This is a wonderful church, full of warmth and love and generosity. And there are wonderful things going on in and through this church. God loves us and he delights in us and he is here with us. But I believe he is saying to us, stretch out your hand. Stretch out your hand. There's more. We need to be revived by God. Stretch out your hand. Now, I don't know all that this is going to mean for us. What's it going to look like for us to stretch out our hand as a church, as a people together? I don't know where it might take us, what it might lead us to do. Maybe messy church is part of it. Maybe it's stretching out our hand in prayer and blessing in ways we have never done before. It may be reviving the building project next door and discovering God's new plans for us. Maybe it's getting out on the streets and praying for people. Maybe it's something more to help people out of addiction and debt. Maybe it's something that we have never thought of before that God will show us. But as I look at that man with the withered hand, I recognise three things, I think, for starters, that we are going to need. And the first thing is trust in Jesus. We need to trust Jesus and to listen to him, to fix our eyes on him above everything else, just as I expect that that man did. And to fully trust in Jesus, we need to know who Jesus is and how trustworthy he is, how able he is. John said today is officially the end of Epiphany, although I admit I've played fast and loose with the readings. And Epiphany is all about revelation, the revelation of who Jesus is and therefore who God is. And we need to continually be seeking greater understanding, greater revelation, that we might know that we know that we know that he is awesome, powerful, holy, strong, mighty, the great big God who holds us in his hands, that he's our loving Saviour who gave everything for us, and that he's the King of glory. You know, in Psalm 24 that Terry read, our first reading, we heard, lift up your heads, you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. I keep singing that song at the moment that goes, "Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God." This is who we look to as individuals and as a church. This is who we depend on. This is who we need to fix our eyes on and put our trust in. Jesus. That's the first thing. It's always the first thing. Then the second thing that we need, I think, is courage. Courage to step out of our comfort zones. That man had to get up out of his seat and stand in front of everyone. I bet that took courage. I bet it would have been much more comfortable to stay exactly where he was. I bet he wished he could hide his withered hand, his weakness, maybe even his shame. But when we're comfortable, we're much less likely to rely on God. I think that's true, isn't it? It's true for me. And sometimes God has to take us out of our comfort zones and position us where we'll be open to him in new ways and where we'll bring his blessing in new ways. So we're going to need to have courage. And thirdly, I think we are going to need to be willing to do the impossible. Does that sound a bit ridiculous? What I mean is, we need to be willing to do what is only possible if God comes through. And we need to be filled with expectancy that he will come through. I was talking to Jen after the service this morning. She was telling me that Valley Kids have had a poster up, or used to have a poster up, that said, "Make your plans so big that without God they will fail." It's a massive challenge. It's very easy, however, just to say it. It's much more difficult to live this day by day. It is really, truly stretching stuff for us. And that man could not possibly have stretched out his hand. It was withered. But Jesus told him to do what was impossible for him, and he did it. It was an act of faith, not an act of sense. And without God, it made no sense at all. Now, last week at the 11 o'clock service, we gathered around Chris and Maureen to pray for them as they headed off to Israel. And someone prayed, not that they would take care, but that they would take risks. We need to take risks together, to stretch out our hand and to rely on God coming through. And if it is God who is telling us to stretch out our hand, he will give us the power and the strength to do it. Because what God says is possible is possible. Okay, how are you doing with this? Are you with me in this? Few thumbs up there. Do you recognise something of the call of God in this? You know, can you start to hear his voice saying, "Stretch out your hand"? There's some nods. Good, I'm not alone. But, you know, do you? It's a question worth asking. Do you want to be part of this? Do you want to find out? Shall we find out together what it's going to mean? You know, if you do, I'm thinking that we should do something about it now. Make a start. John, come up here. I'm remembering that so often when Jesus met people who were sick or in need, he asked them, "Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be made whole?" And it sounds like the answer should be so obvious, but it isn't always that obvious. We can be very safe and settled where we are, you know, and very fearful of something different. Just to speak personally, when I was sat in a wheelchair, curled up in pain and exhausted, and had been like that for a number of years, and I sensed Jesus say, "Stand up, get out of that wheelchair and walk." It took courage to put my feet on the floor. But I couldn't do it, but Jesus could do it in me. So the question for us as a church, as a people, is, do we want this? Do we want to stretch out our hands? Do we want to see the life of God flow where we haven't seen it either ever or for a while? Now, what shall we do? Do you want that? I'm going to ask you. Jesus said, let's just go with this. Jesus said to that man, get up and stand in front of everyone. So get up and stand in front of everyone if you're up for this. In fact, I'm going to just say, even it's fine if you want to stand in your seats, but why not come forward even? That's what he said. Get up, come forward in front of everyone. And just to say, yes, you know, if there are parts of you that need to be revived, stand up if you can, come forward if you can, and then stretch out your hand. Why not just do it physically, here and now, a sign of your willingness and our willingness together to reach out to God, to trust him and him alone. We need revival. We all need God's life in every part of us. Our town and our nation needs a revived church. So stretch out your hand. And if you've been hurt or disappointed so that something in you has died, just stretch it out to Jesus. If you've lost hope, stretch out your hand. If you felt rejected, if you're just fed up, or you feel like you're used up and weary, stretch out your hand. If you need healing, stretch out your hand. And if you know that God is calling you to proclaim the gospel, to set the captives free, to bring healing and blessing, to bring people to new birth in Jesus, and you've no idea how to do it, stretch out your hand. Church, stretch out your hand. We are his church, chosen and dearly loved. Our hope is in him and him alone. So, dear people of God, let's stretch out our hand. And Lord Jesus, we declare that we believe and trust in you, and help our unbelief, we pray.